Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN here on this Wednesday. We've got a special segment here of In Focus today. Actually, going to have three segments with the USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Schools and changing things up just a little bit. Normally, we just talk to the superintendent or assistant superintendent and one of the school board members, but we've actually got several guests joining us here on Zoom today. So we're going to kind of do a little bit of a round robin here with everybody. And I'll go first and introduce our regular guests, Superintendent Marvin Wade, joining us via Zoom. Good morning,
Dr. Brandon.
Wade. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Good. Glad to hear. And Board President Carla Hagemeister also joins us on the call. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we've got a bunch of different guests here as well. We've got actually four other people on the call. And I'll go one by one here and introduce them. Michael Dorst, the principal of Manhattan High School. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
I have Kent Smith, who is a teacher at Anthony Middle School. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And Samantha Roberts is the other guest here, and she's a teacher at Lee Elementary. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we'll have one other guest joining us a little bit later on the program as well. She couldn't be on with us till about 9:30, so Jennifer Carr of Manhattan High School's East Campus will join us a little later on. And, you know, it's interesting. We were about a week into the school year, and Dr. Wade and I discussed this earlier this week. We thought it would be in the best interest to get some perspective from those who are working with the students, and that is the teachers, and kind of an unusual start to the new school year. There is a school board meeting tonight at 6:30, and it's a relatively light agenda. And Dr. Wade, I'll let you kind of introduce things here. They got you, Dr. Wade? Is he on mute by chance?
I wonder if you were talking about me. I just got cut off somehow, so now I am back.
Okay.
So hopefully you can hear me now.
I can. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. What did you say, Brandon?
Well, I was saying we do have a school board meeting tonight.
Okay.
And it's relatively light agenda, but today the focus really is going to be on the teachers a lot.
Yeah, okay, thank you for that. Sorry for me getting cut off. It's been quite a process, as people know, with going from like the 10,000-foot level this summer with the planning and having mostly district administrators and community people working on that. And then when all the administrators came on board, we got more details in our plan. And then really when staff came on board, we really got an opportunity to do more with our reopening plan. But now with school started last week, that we've been in a position to really start refining what we do. We knew that there would be some glitches along the way, and there are. And as you suggested, today's a good opportunity for us to hear from the teachers who are doing this work with the students and the families to get their perspective of how things are going. Also want to let people know we are continuing to refine things like the gating criteria. We continue to have the meetings with the health department officials, Kansas State Department of Education, Kansas State University, and watching what those numbers are doing. We know people are concerned about the positivity rate. It is going up. We're concerned about that as well. And we've got meetings. I had a meeting yesterday with Kansas State. Today, all of our administrators and our directors of the district are getting together to talk about how are things going, what do we need to adjust. And then tomorrow's going to be a big day with meeting with Riley County Health Department, the MHK Physician Task Force, the Emergency Operations Center for Riley County, and Kansas State Department of Education. So I know people are anxious to know about where are we at in terms of the hybrid learning versus all distance learning. Not in a position to make any kind of announcement today or even tonight at the board meeting. So if people are listening on this call for an answer for that, they're not going to get it right now. But we are talking to the important people to get the right medical information that we need in order to make it a decision as educators. So that's a big one out there for us right now.
And I've heard a lot, and I know this has been discussed, that the percent positivity rate is not the end-all, be-all. There are other determining factors that you're looking at.
there are other factors. The Department of Education had input from physicians. This is the Kent State Department of Education. They had input from physicians across the state about looking at things like school absenteeism this year compared to last year. What is the positivity rate? Are those numbers increasing or decreasing? I know our numbers are higher, and they are going up. What's the capacity of the local area and local and area hospitals to be able to meet the needs of the community? Those are some of the factors they talk about. And in our community, with it being a college town, that is, when we look at what age ranges, who are the people that are being affected, how does that impact the school district? And one example we have is the number of Kansas State, and this is not in any way to pick on Kansas State University and the students there. We just knew that when the students came back, there was a good chance that the positivity rate would go up. And now we don't have a crystal ball, but we believe that the numbers will go down, that they will adjust, we will adjust, and our numbers will go down. That's kind of me speaking for me, to be truthful. But now it's we've been limiting some of the access of Kansas State students to USD 383 schools as one of the measures that we take to keep our students safe, along with the masking, with the sanitizers, a lot of those, and the thorough cleaning process that our custodians have. So there's a lot of different factors there that are recommended by the state, by the health department, and also by our local physicians that we really pay close attention to. So you're right, going back to, that's a lot of words, but coming back to, it's not just the percentage of positivity, it's what's the trend, where are those locations at, how much does that directly affect us as a school district, and what are the ramifications of us making a sudden shift in what we do for our instructional delivery model?
And, you know, and Carl, I'll bring you into this as well. As far as if and when there is an opportunity that it has to be a transition to all distance learning, would this be permanent for the rest of the semester, or would you guys have the ability to change that at some point?
We could change it at some point. I think we don't want to lock ourselves in. We want to be responsive to the situation as it's happening. But also, I want to say responsive and not reactive. I want us to be looking at the information as it's developing and talking to the people that we need to talk to in order to make good, solid decisions. But we also know and recognize that going all remote is a big shift in a situation that's already hard. It's hard for teachers, it's hard for students, it's hard for parents, it's hard for the community. And we know that we want our kids in the building as much as they can safely be there. And so I think that we want to be able to have the ability to respond to the situation as it's developing and not be locked in to one model or another. I know some districts across the state have kind of committed more firmly to this is what we're going to do for this period of time and have maybe locked into this semester. And that, to me, is not the direction that we've taken. And I'm glad that we have that ability to look at what's happening in our community. I want our community and our kids to be back in the buildings. And I want there to be some motivation is probably not the right word, but there has to be something there. There has to be a reward at a light at the end of the tunnel for us to get these positivity rates down. You know, I think we can do it, but we have to be intentional about it, and we have to be diligent about it to get those numbers back down and to keep them down so that we can have as many kids in the building as we can safely do.
And I'd like to jump in just for a minute, Brandon, too, that things are different now, obviously, than in the spring. When schools were shut down and we went to the continuous learning plan, the goal at that point in time was for us to head off COVID-19, for us to essentially be in a position where school could start as normal this year, because we shut things down and it went away. When that didn't occur, we had to go to some other plans, and how we've tried to create our reopening plan would be that it provides enough structure so people know what we're doing, but that it is flexible enough for us to adapt along the way, knowing that in order that it wasn't just going away, so we had to be able to try to adapt what we were doing to get back to some semblance of normalcy for all of us. So our plan is fluid. It's still on the website, www.usd383.org. The plans there, our updates are there, links to other entities are there, but we will be adjusting it along the way as we need to be proactive and reactive in some instances to what's going on.
Okay. Michael Dorst, principal of Manhattan High School, joins us on the Zoom call as well. And you had the unfortunate news to announce this week that there was the first case of a COVID-positive high school student. What's the latest that you can tell us about that? And has there been any more students that have had to quarantine because of that?
Yeah, we approached that. That's one of the things that we were planning, you know, during the summer, what would happen, and more information, the better, and the earliest that we can get that information out that's accurate, the better. So that's how we approached that. And I'll email out last night. And
Michael,
we're sharing right away as soon as we can, as soon as we have that accurate information, the personal information that we have to protect also. So we're doing that very, very difficult, tough balance that we do at schools. We protect people's privacy and the public. So, you know, we send that out. We let people know when the last time.
Excuse me, Mike
Mo. And let them know that internally to our school community, and let them know, reminding people about the procedures that we have, reminding them about, you know, how to keep communication within the building. And the needs that we have throughout the building, or cleaning procedures that we're doing. So it's just a lot of communication and sharing as much as possible. And bringing all those things together and sharing that with our community, which is a fairly large community, just to share with you. And you send an email out to Manhattan High School families, you know, goes out and sets of parents that we have. So a lot of people in Manhattan will get those messages when we discover something. And we share that, like I said, as fast as we can.
Hey, Michael, we're really having some trouble hearing you. I might have you sign out and sign back in here. The audio quality is not very, very good on your end here. So.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries,
Brandon. Let me sign out.
No worries. We'll get you back on here in just a bit. We have a caller here, I think, has a question for our guests. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, the people are very intelligent debaters at shaping the conversation, but I wanted to thank their teachers for developing a certain amount of independent thinking in our Manhattan high school student here in the family. Our student has decided to do online schooling only. My daughter's mother's screaming about something called high school social development. I have no idea what that is. It's not the first thing she and I have disagreed upon, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last. But that kind of independent thinking and guidance, I think you need to be under consideration with all of the videos and pictures the teachers across America are putting online of the chaos between classes in the germ factory of the schools. You know, next year when the subject comes up about opening schools, I think you need to be aware of the subliminal message that is sent that you need to have the school board meetings in person. rather than online. Thank you so much for your consideration.
All right, thank you for the call. Did anyone want to respond to that? If not, we'll take a break here. I'll take a break. You can respond afterward. You're listening to News Radio KMAN's In Focus.